Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned last week, we're going to spend some time this morning focusing on the preaching of John the Baptist on this fourth Sunday in Advent, as we always do on this Sunday. Because just as we use this season to prepare our hearts and arrange our lives for Christ's second advent, so the whole purpose of John's ministry was to prepare the people of Israel and really the people of the world who were there in Israel at that time for Christ's first advent. Not for the advent of his birth, obviously, that had already happened, but for the advent or his coming onto the scene to begin preaching and teaching and performing miracles leading up to his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead a few years later, which was the fulfillment of his first advent. The truth is, we need the preparatory preaching of John the Baptist just as much as the people of Israel did when John began to preach to them. When a preacher steps forward into the limelight, as for example, just about any televangelist or megachurch preacher you've ever seen, they tend to focus on themselves, don't they? Or even if they don't focus on themselves, the people who flock to them certainly focus on them, how they're dressed, how cool or how hip they are, how charismatic, how real, how fiery, or how brilliant. They tend to draw attention to themselves and keep it there. They often attempt to sell themselves, almost like a used car salesman, as they personally benefit from their ministry. That certainly wasn't the case with John the Baptist. Now, he certainly was different. He stood out from everyone else in Israel by living alone out in the desert. You know how he dressed, with camel skin clothing and a leather belt around his waist and eating locusts and wild honey as his diet. And his preaching was certainly bold, and his baptizing was novel, and it got people's attention. But just as soon as John got the people's attention, he immediately pointed them away from himself, unlike so many preachers today. I've used the example before of a road sign. You're supposed to notice the road signs. They're supposed to get your attention, especially if they're warning signs along the side of the road. But they're only supposed to get your attention for a moment, only so that you get the directions or the message that's there on the sign that it was put there to communicate. Then you forget about the sign and focus on where the sign was pointing. So it was with John. He got people's attention for a moment and then pointed away from himself. That surprised people. It surprised the Jews who sent the Levites and the priests to John in today's gospel. They thought he must be claiming to be someone important, gathering a group of supporters for himself to accomplish some cunning political aim. So they came as an official delegation sent from the Pharisees to ask him, "Who are you?" Now, they didn't believe he was anyone sent from God. They didn't believe he was the Christ or Elijah or the prophet, or else they would have been out there themselves listening to him, confessing their sins, being baptized by him, and doing what he said. No, they had come to challenge him, whoever he claimed to be. Now, if John had wanted a following for himself, he could have said, "Well, I am the Christ," or another very important person. But the evangelist, John, makes it very clear that John the Baptist never made such a claim about himself. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Well, then they figured he must be making some other great claim for himself, and especially if he's out here taking it upon himself to preach and to baptize. "What then? Are you Elijah?" Some of the Jews at that time wrongly interpreted Malachi's prophecy that Elijah would come ahead of the coming of the Lord, thinking that the scripture meant that the man Elijah who went up to heaven in that chariot and whirlwind would descend from heaven someday to preach to the people. So they said, "Are you Elijah?" And John said, "No, I'm not." He wasn't that man Elijah, although, as Jesus tells us elsewhere, he was the figurative Elijah prophesied by Malachi. So the Jews asked, "Are you the prophet?" Referring to the prophet whom Moses had prophesied long ago would come and preach to the people, and they had better listen to him. And John said, "No. Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." St. Luke gives us a little bit more of what Isaiah said in that context. He writes, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" Well, that was John's task, to straighten the road ahead of the Christ who was coming up the road. That's all. Not to make a name for himself or gain glory for himself. He was a voice that would carry out the work of a figurative road construction crew. John wouldn't do any plowing or bulldozing or repairing of roads, but with his voice, with his preaching, he would do that to men's hearts by turning their attention to the Lord's imminent arrival. Now, if you know that the Lord is coming soon, if he's right behind you on the road coming this way, then there is no time for business as usual. So consider how you live, John preached. Consider where your heart is, what your heart is focused on, what it's attached to, what your desires are. Consider the works you have done and are doing. Are they works of obedience? Are they works of kindness and generosity focused on the benefit of those around you? Or are they works of which you should be ashamed? Consider the plans you're making for today and for tomorrow and next year and beyond. Is this how you want the Lord to find you when he comes? Where there are valleys, unrepented sins against God's commandments, a heart and life that are engaged in shameful deeds, let there be repentance and a confession of sins to raise those valleys up. Where there are mountains and hills, pride in how good and decent you are and how lucky God is to have you in his family, let there be recognition that God doesn't view you nearly as highly as you view yourself. Let there be repentance and a confession of sins to bring the mountains down to the same level as everyone else. Where there are crooked places and rough places, sinful habits and harmful behavior, and a haphazard treatment of God's word and sacraments, let there be repentance and confession of sins to make your heart and your life straight and smooth for the coming of the Lord. And you will see All will see the salvation of God. Why? Because when God comes, when the Lord Christ comes and finds penitent hearts, neither secure in their sins nor proud of their own decency, then he can come and announce the good news, the gospel, that he is the one who would pay, or now who has paid, for the sins of all on the cross. Then he can invite the weary and heavily burdened to come to him and find rest and peace and the forgiveness of sins and salvation. But if he comes and finds people securely sinning or indifferent toward the things of God or proud and arrogant, then he has nothing to offer but the law and accusation and condemnation and destruction. So John was sent to get the people ready, as all ministers are sent to get the people ready before Christ's second coming. And we, like John, point away from ourselves. As John wore those strange clothes out in the desert, so we wear this strange clothing, these vestments, when we're carrying out our ministry. Now always remember why. Only to draw your attention for a moment, like a road sign, so that you may see Christ in the preaching office he gave to us, so that we might preach him and not ourselves. Oh, the world says, that's all you are? You're nobody? You're a voice? You're a road sign? Then why should we listen to you? As the envoys from the Jews said to John, why do you baptize then? If you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you administer this new sacrament? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands among you one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, who is already ahead of me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to untie. Why do I baptize? Why do I preach? So that you may not be destroyed due to your ignorance of who Jesus is. You dismiss him at your peril. You think he will come and deal with all the other sinners out there, but you must be safe because, well, you are you. No, it doesn't work that way. There's only one way to be safe and ready for the coming of the mighty God who comes with vengeance against his enemies. I baptize with water. Water doesn't hurt, although it does kill the old man. I baptize with water, not with fire, not with destruction, not with the all-consuming wrath of God. He will do that when he comes, if he doesn't find you already washed in a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, all of you here have been baptized, have been washed in that washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, and that's good. That was a first and very important step. Now continue to listen to the preaching of the preacher who doesn't matter, but whose preaching does. Turning your attention from the preacher to the Christ who is preached, so that you may live daily in repentance and faith, doing works of kindness and generosity and love at all times, and rejoicing while you're doing it. Isn't that how you want the Lord to find you when he comes? May God mercifully grant it, for Jesus' sake, by the working of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.